Today is Wednesday, December 13th, or 26th day of the month of Kislev, second night of Hanukkah. This is the women's Mishnah Gemara share. We're doing something for Hanukkah tonight.
Okay, Rabotai. I'd like to do something for Hanukkah tonight. First, I want to take this opportunity to extend Seitchem L'Shalom to a long-time regular, Ellie Frankel, who's going to be spending the next year in Israel. It's really very nice. I wish you and your husband much Hatzlacha, and hopefully you'll wind up there and serve as an example for all of us.
Thank you, but I'll continue to listen on.
Please do. Please do. Please do. Okay. We the topic for tonight is can I identify something unusual about the mitzvah of Hanukkah as opposed to other mitzvot in relationship to the general question, do mitzvot require kavanah or not? So what we're going to start with is just an introduction by looking at how the Mechaber formulates the halakha, how the Mishnah Berurah quotes others who further refine, and how Hanukkah might be somewhat of an exception to the rule. So the page number one has the Mechaber's statement in Hilchos Kriya Shema. It is Siman Samach in Shulchan Aruch. It's Halacha Dalet, Seif Dalet. Yesh Omrim She'ein Mitzvot Tzrichot Kavana. There are those who claim that whenever you do a mitzvah, you do not have to have kavanah before you do the mitzvah, that you are engaged in this activity specifically for the purpose of discharging God's command. So some claim you don't have to have such a kavanah. V'yesh omrim, and others say, shetzrichot kavanah, that in order to get credit for a mitzvah, before you engage in the performance of the deed, you have to have in mind that I am doing so for the purpose of fulfilling God's commandment. If I were to just ask you, survey says, what would you think the halacha is? Caro cited both opinions. So what would you say is the halacha, and give me a very good concrete proof that that is the case? From every mitzvah that you perform. Yes? Good. That's the purpose of a berachas hamitzvah. Because we paskin, we don't know what we paskin, but our practice is as if mitzvot always tzrichot kavana. Mitzvot tzrichot kavana. So before you engage in eating matzah, you say alachilas matzah. Today, before you said Hallel, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvotah v'tzivanu likro et ha-Hallel. So that would be the simple way of proving that that's the way we conduct ourselves. And here, Karo writes, V'yesh omrim shetzrichot kavana lotzeit ba'asiyat ota mitzvah v'chein halacha. And he, Karo writes, that the halacha is in accordance with the second opinion. In accordance with the second opinion, that mitzvot tzrichot kavana. Now, Karo often, just you should know his style, Karo often quotes two opinions. He doesn't tell us what he thinks is the absolute halacha. He just quotes both opinions. So we have some guidelines based on some of his writings, and that normally the first opinion that he quotes is the one that he accepts, and the second one is done in deference to one of the earlier Rishonim who disagrees, who has a dissenting opinion. Often that dissenting opinion might be a Rambam or a Rif or the Rush. So Karo will tell you what he thinks in the first opinion, but he doesn't say which one he believes. But in other writings we are told that's the way he believes. Here he for some reason put the first opinion that you don't need kavana, the second opinion that you do need kavana, so the impression that would be generated based on his rules is that he holds you don't have to have kavana. So that's why at the end he writes those two last words, v'chein halacha. The halacha is that you require kavana for a mitzvah. However, on page number 2, we have the Mishnah Brura's commentary on that. I bracketed for you below the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Brura, authored by the Chavetz Chaim. V'chein halacha, katav HaMagen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is the primary commentary on Shulchan Aruch. He's the primary commentator. Katav HaMagen Avraham. B'shem HaRidbaz. Dizeh Dafka B'mitzvah D'oraita. That which Karo just ruled, that the halacha is that you require kavana, is only for a biblically mandated mitzvah. Avon b'mitzvah d'rabanan ein tsarich kavana. However, for mitzvot mid'rabanan, the rule is ein tsarich kavana. So said the Magen Avraham in the name of the Ritbaz. Okay. So now, if we are going to raise the question concerning Hanukkah, I'm going to ask you the question. Do you have to have kavana when you light the candles last night, or if you have yet to light tonight, or tomorrow night?
It's the Rabbanan.
So you would say, Ner Chanukah does not require kavana, for after all, it's a mitzvah midrabbanan. It's a mitzvah midrabbanan. Fine. However, as I just said, even if we are to believe that the Magen Avraham is correct, that mitzvot midrabanan do not require kavana, it could be that Ner Chanukah does require kavana and could be an exception to the rule about mitzvot midrabanan. So give me five other mitzvot midrabanan.
That have a buffer or don't?
They all have a bracha, basically. Give me five other mitzvot midrabanan to which you would apply the Magen Avraham's rule. Nitilat yadayim. There is no biblical obligation to what? To wash your hands before you eat bread. It was instituted by the rabbis. So when you fulfill the mitzvah, you don't have to have in mind, I am doing this for the purpose of fulfilling the rabbinic commandment. Oh, you couldn't do it because you think, I want for cleanliness purposes. I want my hands clean. That's why I wash my hands. That's okay too.
But it's not a bracha, doesn't that come out?
I understand. But assuming, even if there is no bracha, I'm talking about a situation, even if there were to be no brachot. So for washing your hands, you don't have to have it. Give me another mitzvah midrabanan. What? We don't make a bracha on Dalet Kosot, so it's hard to examine that. But the mitzvah of Dalet Kosot, do you have to have in mind that I'm fulfilling the rabbinic command of Dalet Kosot? Okay, that's correct. Some say that the hinani muchana mezuman is to get your mind thinking even right before you make the bracha. Correct. That's correct.
Reading Megillah?
Reading Megillah is a mitzvah midrabanan. However, after tonight, we will see that those two exceptions, Chanukah, Megillah, and and Dalet Kosot, might be three of a kind that are different than all other mitzvot midrabanan. So can you give me a couple other mitzvot midrabanan? Making an Eruv Tavshilin. That's midrabanan. Making a Eruv Chatzerot, an Eruv around Tinek, that's midrabanan. What? The mitzvah of Challah today. Hallel is that's a machloikus. The Ramban says Hallel's Doraisa. But we'll see. So that might be. But making an Eruv is only midrabbanan. Torah law you can carry outside without an Eruv and Tinek. What?
Neirot Shabbat.
Yes, Neirot Shabbat is only a mitzvah midrabbanan. So now let's proceed and see why I might claim that Hanukkah is an exception to the rule. If all mitzvot midrabbanan, as the Magen Avraham said, do not require kavanah,
even with a bracha,
even we happen to make a bracha, but even in the absence of a bracha, you don't have to have kavanah. The reason why we have a bracha is because somebody told us, you know what? Say the bracha because I want to. What's wrong with having kavanah before every mitzvah, even a derabanan? So once you have a bracha, unless you say the bracha as an airhead, you don't even think what you're saying. You're just plopping the bracha. You don't understand what you're saying. But under normal circumstances, if you pay any attention to what you're saying, you are stating that I'm going to do this action for the purpose of what? Of doing a mitzvah.
That's what I wanted to ask you. What if you... When you were saying stopping and thinking, it's different than when you're saying a bracha. A bracha can be sort of like...
Okay, so...
Okay,
but I believe that the bracha is designed to help facilitate, to remind you. But I agree with you. Many times we just plopple the bracha and don't even take into consideration what those words mean.
Well, that's what I wanted to know, if that would make you... Without stopping and thinking, would that be good enough? No.
No. Just the mere fact that you're saying something, it requires a mental awareness that I'm doing this for the purpose of fulfilling God's command. God's command. And in fact, the Gemara in Brachot, in Masechet Shabbat, asked the question, how could you even say a bracha by a mitzvah midrabanan? How can you say that God commanded me to fulfill the mitzvah hadlakat nerot or to read the Megillah? So the Gemara answers...
commanded us to follow the Rabbanan.
Good, that's one answer that the Torah tells us not to deviate from the Rabbanan's commands. That's one. That's in the negative. Lo tasur mikol hadavar sheyagidu l'chaya min usmol. And then on a positive note, it says, sha'al avicha v'yageitcha, zikeinecha v'yomru lach. Torah says, follow your elders. And our elders are parents and teachers, the Beit Din. But, so there's no doubt that that's what the bracha does facilitate, but you have to be mentally aware of it. But let's see why I say that even if you could be an airhead for all mitzvot derabanan, a complete airhead, for Chanukah, Megillah, and Arba Kosot, you can't. So take a look now at page number 3, which is the Rambam in Perek Dalet of Hilchot Chanukah, Megillah and Chanukah. Rambam combined Hilchot Megillah and Chanukah into one unit. The Rambam has a rule for himself that if I don't have enough material for 3 chapters of laws, I never assign it an independent name. Never. I'll combine it with something else. So the Rambam did not have enough for 3 chapters of Chanukah, nor did he have enough chapter 3 chapters of Megillah. He had 2 and 2. So he named this unit Hilchot Megillah v'Chanukah. So Chanukah begins in Perigimel. Perigimel of Hilchas Megillah and Chanukah, that's where the Rambam starts his discussion about the mitzvah of Chanukah. And he writes in Halakha Yud Bet, it's towards the bottom. Mitzvat Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Me'od. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is an especially precious mitzvah. Vitzarich Adam Lehi Zaher Ba, and a person has to be careful with it. Kidei lehodia hanes, to publicize the miracle, ulehosif beshevach ha'el, and to add praise unto God, v'hodaya lo, and thanksgiving unto Him, al hanisim she'asalanu, for the miracles that he performed on our behalf. Afilu ein lo ma yochal, even if you have nothing to eat, ela min hatzdaka, the only way that you can support yourself is by collecting charity. So normally, if you are that destitute, you are exempt from doing many mitzvot. The maximum that you're allowed to spend on any mitzvah is 20% of your assets. 20%. So if I am poor, I have no earnings whatsoever. I have no earnings. I'm getting charity food, charity clothing. So I don't have, comes the Yontif of Sukkot, I don't have to buy a lulav and esrog. I don't have to buy a pair of tefillin. I'm exempt from every mitzvah. You are not allowed to spend more than 20% of your income on any particular mitzvah. Not allowed to. However, for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, says the Rambam, Shoel, if you are supported by the community charity, you have to borrow or mocher kisuto, sell the shirt off your back. Velokeach shemen v'neirot umadlik. And now you purchase oil, wicks, and you light the menorah.
So maybe that's why the candles don't become like the esrog cost.
That's okay. That's, yes, that's possible. That's possible. So bear this in mind. So Rambam here tells us that via the lighting of the candles, what am I doing in addition to lighting the candles? I'm being mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm being modeh LeHaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am praising God and acknowledging, thanking God without opening up my mouth.
Just by lighting it.
Just by lighting it. So I ask you, how in the world are you supposed to know that this act of kindling a fire is actually saying Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If not that you have what in mind? The thought in mind. It requires some intellectual stimulus to become cognizant and aware of this. Because just lighting a candle won't do the trick. You can be lighting a candle because it's dark. And that's what most people had to do. They didn't have electricity at that time. So when you lit candles, typically, it's because you needed the light in your house. It is for this reason that our practice is to recite Hanerot Halalu right after we light. And according to some, you're supposed to say Hanerot Halalu before you light. Yes. Why? So that when you light the candle, you're aware, why am I lighting these candles? Hanerot Halalu, Shano Madlikin, Alanisim, Balaniflot, Balachuot, Balamechamot, Shasita Labotena, Bayamimayim Bazan. And they are Asur Bahana'ah, Chol Shmano Kimei Chanukah, Aneru Talalu, Kodeshem, Ve'ein Lanu Rishut Lehishkamesh Bahem. So this paragraph is lifted from Masechet Sofrim. Masechet Sofrim is a late collection of Braitot. And the text is actually recorded in Masechet Sofrim. And we recite it. Everybody recites it. Whether you recite it before you light, after you light. But its design is to highlight the fact that when you engage in this particular mitzvah, you ought to be thinking about what it says in Haneris Halalu. That the purpose of the mitzvah is to lifarsem etaneis, the nisim, niflaot, chuot, and milchamot, she'atita lavutenu bayamim ha'im b'zman hazeh. So, therefore, number one, Chanukah is not like washing your hands. Chanukah is not like making an Eruv Tavshilin. Here, there is something well above and beyond the act in addition to the lighting. In addition to the lighting. If you'll go now for a second to page number 4, you will find an unusual statement of Rambam. Now, one of the hundreds of questions that I have for the Rambam, and other, there are millions of questions that people can ask the Rambam when they finally meet him, hopefully not in the near future, is that Rambam, with all his incredible expertise in writing, never simply made a statement whether mitzvot tzrichot kavana or mitzvot ein tzrichat kavana, like we read in Karo 5 minutes ago.
He never commented on
it? No. All he did was give two illustrations, which happened to be conflicting. That's all he did. So Rambam writes the following in Hilchot Chametz Matzah, chapter 6. I should have put those Rambams here. I didn't. You'll have to just listen. Here is the case. We discussed this once in the context of Pesach Shiurim. Somebody takes a kizayit of matzah, crushes it up, walks into your house while you're watching a movie during the Seder, because you're not having a Seder, opens up your mouth, and shoves the crushed up matzah down your throat.
So you have no kavanah.
Obviously you have no kavanah. Yeah. Said the Rambam, you are yotze, you fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah. That's the example he gives. However, in Hilchot Shofar, so if that were the only Rambam, I would conclude that mitzvot don't need kavanah. Unfortunately, it's not the only Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchot Shofar the following situation. This guy is walking to a movie on Rosh Hashanah, because he's not going to shul, and he happens to be passing the shul. Just when they're up to Tekiah Shofar, and he stops right by the shul. Oh, he hears the sound of the shofar. He remembers his grandfather. He should tell him it was such a thing called a shofar. In Europe, for those old-fashioned Jews, he's already an emancipated American, so he doesn't go to shul. But he remembers, so he stands in front of the shul. Says the Rambam, he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah unless he has kavanah to be yotze, and the Baal Tokeya has in mind to be motzi him. That's what the Rambam says. So if this were the only Rambam, I would say mitzvot tzrichot kavanah. So Rambam never actually ruled black on blue whether mitzvot tzrichot or mitzvot ein tzrichot. And of course there is a debate amongst interpreters of the Rambam, which is the rule, which is the exception. So the Ran believes that the rule is the Rambam in Hilchos Shofar, that everything requires kavanah, and the exception is the mitzvah of matzah, because he claims that food-related mitzvot don't need kavanah. How he gets to that, I'm not going to go into that tonight. But that's the way the Ran resolves that Rambam. The Rav's grandfather, Rab Chaim, believed just the opposite. That the real Rambam, the primary Rambam, is the moment in matzah. That you don't need a kavanah. The exception is shofar, because you're not doing the action. Which type of mitzvot must you have kavanah if you're sitting there like a klutz? If you personally do the action, says Rab Chaim, you don't need kavanah. And the reason why you don't need kavanah is because there was an assumption, why else would I be downing matzah unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do so? Why would I put on tefillin? Why would light candles unless somebody told you there's a mitzvah to do it? Why would you eat matzah? Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you don't have to have it in mind. It's obvious that you're doing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you're not doing an action, then how do you somehow connect yourself to the person who is doing the action? So if in your house you happen to have the practice that the distinguished woman of the house makes Kiddush on Friday night, and the husbands listen passively, so you who make the Kiddush, if you only made Kiddush yourself, there was nobody else in the house, you wouldn't have to have Kavanah. But if there's somebody in the house who's discharging his or her responsibility via you, then you need Kavanah to link the person who's standing there like a klutz doing nothing to your action of a mitzvah. That's what Reb Chaim said. Yes.
But what would he say about the Rambam on Nir of Hanukkah?
So what would the Rambam simply say? What should he say?
Doing an action, you don't need Kavanah.
Good. So Reb Chaim would say you don't need Kavanah.
Except that the Rambam seemed to indicate that you...
Okay, so Reb Chaim will say that that other Rambam is not really the Kavana that I'm talking about. That Kavana to discharge your obligation of a mitzvah. That's a different type of Kavana, that you're being Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have that distinction by Kriyat Shema. That's the model. Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah of the Torah. And there is no Birchat HaMitzvah before Kriyat Shema. We don't say Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvotav B'Tzivanu Likro at Shema. So when you say Shema and you're davening, do you have to have Kavana to be Yotzei the Mitzvah or not? So according to the Rambam, maybe you don't. You don't. But you have to have a different type of Kavana. What type of Kavana? Likabel Ol Malchut Shamayim. To accept the yoke of heaven, when you say Shema Yisrael, you have to have that in mind. That I'm accepting the yoke of heaven. Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim. So the Rambam would say that this Chanukah is like that. Knowing that you're being Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch. That's how Reb Chaim would handle that. But, however, take a look now at page number 4. Rambam decides to say something very specific. Hakore et hamigilah below kavana lo yatsa. If I read the Megillah myself, I'm not talking about reading it as the Baal Kore in shul or at the women's tefillah. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who reads the Megillah for him or herself. Mitzvah's Megillah is an individual obligation. Doesn't need a minyan. It's preferred to hear it in shul with a minyan, but it's not mandatory. So the Rambam Seir says, without kavana by Kriyas HaMegillah, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. Why not? Matzah, the Rambam said, you are Yotzei the Mitzvah. But Megillah not? Why? Matzah's a Do'oraita, Megillah's a Derabbanan. So tell me, in light of what we proposed by Chanukah, are we now going to say by Megillah as well? What are we going to say? What's the purpose of Kriyas HaMegillah? To be Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though God's name doesn't appear once in the Megillah. There, it's a much more sophisticated level of God's participation. It's not evident and obvious at all that God is orchestrating these events behind the scene. So therefore, in order for someone to be cognizant of it, he'll have to think about it. So the Rambam writes, if you just read the Megillah and don't pay any attention to any of this, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. Because it's not just a mitzvah to read. It's not just a mitzvah to read. It's a mitzvah that is read for the purpose of provoking thought, discussion, recognition of God's underlying presence in the Megillah. In the Megillah. Yeah. So Megillah would be a second mitzvah, and again, it's the Rabbanan. So even the Magen Avram, who says that by mitzvot the Rabbanan, you don't have to have Kavanah, Chanukah and Megillah are two exceptions to the rule. About you must have some type of thought process involved under those circumstances. You must have some circumstances. Take a look at page 5 and we'll see the comment of the Magid Mishneh on this Rambam. The comment of the Magid Mishneh. The Magid Mishneh is one of the primary commentaries on the Rambam that is printed in every standard Rambam. Magid Mishneh. He was a Rishon, a late Rishon, and he comments on virtually every single Rambam. And he writes, Hakorei et HaMegillah. B'Mishneh, the Mishneh states in Megillah, Haya Kotva Dorsha Umagiha. Somebody was writing a Megillah, or he was teaching Megillah Esther. But as he was teaching, he read each pasuk. Or Magiha, he was going through it to see if it was a kosher Megillah. Is it missing any letters? Missing any words? And extra letters? Im kivein libo yatsa. If while he was reading for other alternative purposes, he had kavanah to be yotzei the mitzvah, then he would be yotzei. The im lav, if he didn't have kavanah, lo yatsa. Just 1 second. Upiresh rabenu. Im kivein libo latzeis, if you have kavana to be yotze, kifi divarav shepasak perigbet mehilchot shofar. The Magid Mishneh is the one who quotes that Ran, who says that the main Rambam is in Hilchot Shofar. That the Rambam's illustration by shofar, by the guy on the way to the movie house, who stops outside in front of the shul to hear Tzkiyah Shofar, where the Rambam says he's not Yotze unless he has Kavanah, that's the primary Rambam. So that Rambam serves as the basis for all other mitzvos. Hence, Magid Mishneh believes that the Rambam is of the opinion that every single mitzvah requires Kavanah. Except for eating mitzvot. That's why matzah is an exception. However, he adds, no, ve'ulai shahakol modim b'megillah. Maybe even if you hold mitzvot, ain't srichot kavana. But perhaps everyone would agree that Megillah does require kavana. And we are stating tonight not only Megillah, but Ner Chanukah as well. How many of you actually light the menorah? How many people light? Oh, good. So, when you light, under those circumstances, you should be aware that through your lighting, you are engaged in the mitzvah of Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and thanking Him for the miraculous deeds He did on our behalf. That through the lighting of the menorah. Now, if you remember a shiur that we gave on Chanukah many moons ago, Judy, I'm sure you remember this, we once said that the lighting of the menorah, has absolutely nothing to do with the mitzvah of Hallel and Hoda'ah, praising and saying thanks to God.
It had to do with advertising. You said we had to say a bracha every time. No, not quite.
If you will now go for a second to page number 6, go to page number 6 for a second. I told you a chidush fantastic of the Rav many years ago. The only Tannaitic source, there's only one Tannaitic source in all of Shas that discusses the Yontav of Chanukah. There are Moraic sources for a couple of pages in Masechet Shabbat, but Tannaitic sources, only one brayta. That is it. And you're looking at that brayta. It's quoted in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Bet. My Chanukah. So that the way every kid falls into the trap, he translates My Chanukah in the Yiddish. Vos is Chanukah. That's how you translate the word my. My Chanukah. Thus is Chanukah. So Rashi tells us, my Chanukah does not mean thus is Chanukah. It means what miracle caused us to establish the Yom Tov of Chanukah as a Yom Tov. My Chanukah. The Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braita. The Braita's origin is a Masechet, it's called Megillat Ta'anit. A Braita collection called Megillat Ta'anit. You're not going to find it in any of your regular Gemaras. You're not going to find it in any of Mishnayos. It's a collection of Braitot which lists days, many, many days during the year where you're not allowed to fast or have a eulogy. Many of them, most of them, revolved around miracles that took place in the Beit HaMikdash, debates about the Mikdash that took place between various heretical groups. Only two dates recorded in Megillat Ta'anit have remained in our calendar. Chanukah and Purim. That's it. So in this Megillat Ta'anit it says, V'chafhei b'Kislev, on the 25th day of Kislev, Yomei d'Chanukah, are the days of Chanukah. T'man yun inun, these 8 days, D'lo l'mispad b'hon, you can't give a hesped, no eulogies, U'd'lo l'hit anot b'hen, you're not permitted to fast on those days. This regulation about not engaging in eulogies is kept by only two groups of Jews today. Everyone knows the halacha, but everyone starts with their hesped. I know you're not allowed to give a eulogy, but I just want to say a few words. In two communities, they honor this halacha: Broyers and Satmar. I've gone to several levayas in Broyers. It was Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah when you're out. The whole, you don't even have to put a quarter in the meter when you park in front of Broyers. You don't have to park because you're going to be out in about 20 seconds. They say one parak of Tehillim and that's the end of the funeral. That's the end of the funeral. So when I grew up in the Heights and we davened in a little shtiebel, very good shtiebel, Noida B'Yehuda. So this Noida B'Yehuda shtiebel, which had basically modern Orthodox people davening in it, happened to have hired a Satma Chassid as a Rav. He was a wonderful rabbi. He played the role very well. He made an appeal for UJA bonds, as the shul told him to, and for Israel bonds. What's the other famous one that we make for Israel?
J&M,
or something like that. But whatever it was, Israel bonds, very nice. And he played the role very nicely. He was an excellent Baal Tefillah, very good Darshan, but he stuck to this thing. So when my great uncle passed away, Seymour Adler's father, my grandfather was furious at him because he died on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, no eulogies. Said a parakeet Tehillim, said that's it. My grandfather wanted to get him fired. Of course they didn't fire him, but a lot of people get upset and can't tolerate the fact that you have a levaya and nobody says anything. So you have to somehow craft your remarks carefully, you know, what to say. But this halach has gotten a lot of rabbis fired. Now, towards the end of the line. Now he's going to tell you why you're not allowed to eulogize and fast. Shekishenichnusu Yevanim Leichal, when the Yevanim entered the Beit HaMikdash, Tim'u kol hashmanim shebeheichal, they defiled all the oils in the Mikdash. Ukishi gavra, Malchut Beit Chashmonoi v'Nitzchum, when the Malchut, the kingdom of the Chashmonoim, rose up and fought them and succeeded, were victorious. Badku v'lo matzu elapach echad shel shemen shahaya munach bechotamo shel kohen gadol. They only found one cruse of oil that had the seal of the kohen gadol. V'lo haya bo elo lahadlik yom echad. There was only sufficient oil to light one day. Na'asa b'anes, v'dliku mimenu shmoni yamim. Now comes the punchline. Lishana acheret, next year, kav'um v'asum, they established those days, yamim tovim, bihalel v'hoda'ah. They made these days as days of halel and hoda'ah. You take a peek of Rashi, and Rashi says, halel, what we say in davening. Hoda'ah means when you say al hanisim in davening and benching. That's it. There is no further Tanaitic discussion about the Yontav of Chanukah. So if you remember, it must have been 5 or 8 years ago, I challenged whoever was seated here, many of you were, what is conspicuously missing from the only Tanaitic source describing the Yontav of Chanukah? The mitzvah to light the candles. Because Rashi believes, now others, because of the question that I just raised, say that Hoda'ah does not mean to say Al Hanisim. What does Hoda'ah mean? To light the candles. That's how you demonstrate thanksgiving to God. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says you say Al Hanisim in benching and in davening. So then what in the world? Where is Hadlakat Neirot? So if you remember, I told you it's Chidush Atzum of the Rav and many of his proofs. The Rav believed that when Chanukah was established, the Beit HaMikdash was still standing for another 263 years. So where was the menorah lit every night? In the Beit HaMikdash. So Chanukah, there was no mitzvah of Hadlakat Neirot in anybody's house for the first 236 years. After the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, they made Hadlakat Neirot on Chanukah not to commemorate the cruise of oil, but to perpetuate Neirot of the Mikdash. Neirot of the Beit HaMikdash. And there are several halachic proofs that the Rav has. I don't have time for now, for that. But he has several proofs. And there are some very practical halachic considerations. I'll just give you one. A practical halachic consideration. How long must the candles, in theory, be capable of burning? How long? Half hour. At the time of the Gemara, how long were people out in the street? A half hour. Good. That's when you light on a regular night. But when you light on Friday night, those little candles that come in every Chanukah Neirot box can't last a half hour after Tzeit. So the Mishnah Brura says, if you have those candles, don't bother making a bracha. Because it's a waste of time. Why is it a waste of time? Because Parsume Nisa can't take place during the day. A candle doesn't make an impact on people walking back in the street while it's light out. When is the only impact that a candle can make? What has to happen? It's got to be dark outside. Then you notice the light. So the candle on Friday night has to last a half hour, at least capable of being lasting a half hour after Tzeitach HaChavim. So on this Friday night, Shabbos starts at 4:10. So you have to light candles at 4:10, and they have to be able to go to at least 5:40. At least 5:40, because Tzeitach HaChavim is 5:10. So they got to go at least till 5:40. So if you use those regular size candles, you're not yotze the mitzvah. The Rav said you can use them if you have nothing else and make a bracha. Why? Because fundamentally, before we get to Parsume Nisa, the mitzvah of lighting the candles is simply to commemorate the lighting of the Mikdash. And therefore you are mekayim a mitzvah, even if it doesn't last more than 3 minutes. By lighting it, I commemorate the fact that they lit the Beit in the Beit HaMikdash. And he said you could make a bracha on it. That's a big difference. Today, everybody has those big long candles. People have lots of oil, and you don't have to patchka with the oil. They come in the little, you know, glasses. It makes it much easier. Much easier. There's no doubt. But we all remember Tzad when you didn't have those things. Yes.
The only part that I don't really understand, I mean, obviously we all make it last that long, but if you're out, don't get home till midnight and you light it, and if somebody else is up in the house, you could still do it, even though people might not be on the street.
Correct.
But why doesn't that hold for Friday night also, meaning everyone's in your house? Why is the...
But even in your house, it has to be at a time when Parsu Menisa is applicable.
Night.
At night. It's got to be a dark. If you put a candle on it in the afternoon while it's still light out, that doesn't generate any...
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right. And that would be another shir. When did the Gemara say you can light in your house? Bishaat hasakana. When there was danger in lighting outside by the door. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says you light it on your table and nobody sees it. You don't put it at a window. They never did in Europe by a window, my grandfather told me, because the guy would come and, you know, burn the house down. That's what they would do. So they would put it quietly on their table in a room where nobody could see it, and that's it. That was fine.
Because the people see it.
Exactly. In fact, you may not even need anybody to see, because the mitzvah is just now. In our day and age, there's no sakana to light it in a public forum. In Eretz Yisrael, people light it outside. They have it in that glass case box. There's much discussion about that box. Halachic discussion. It would be an interesting share once.
What?
According to many, it's an issue. Because if you put your menorah in a place where the wind will definitely blow it out, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. Because you close the glass. But in order to light it, what do you have to do? You have to have the glass open. If there were to be a strong wind at that precise moment, you are lighting in an area which it definitely can't last. What? The half hour. So many achrayim say, don't use those glasses. It's better to light inside by a window than it is out. There's a whole debate about that. I know. In Eretz Yisrael, it has been mikubal to accept that in. And even in people's in Bar Park, they're doing it now also.
They would have lived outside, would have had the same issue.
Well, not if you like in Miami.
Oh, there's no wind in Miami?
Nah, not the. It's not cold. It's not 40 to 12 degrees. It could be 70 degrees in. Yeah, but it's not necessarily ruach mitsuya, you know, every second. But anyhow, you might be right. You might be right. Or maybe by the equator place. Yeah.
When did the practice of lighting the menorah the way we do it come into vogue? I mean, it was right after the Korban.
Yeah.
So that was at the time of the Tanaim, wasn't it?
No. About banicha al shulchano. No, that's
not that. Just the idea
of lighting it by a window.
Because it's not mentioned at all.
Not mentioned at all by Gemara.
Yes.
No Gemara mentions it by a window. No Rishon mentions it by a window.
This Brisa that we read does not mention the lighting. This is what we said to begin with.
Correct. It doesn't mention it at all. It's only Amoraic sources that talk about lighting the menorah. So when was the Amoraic period?
A little later than
the destruction of the Second Beit HaMikdash. Correct. So it was about 130 years after. Right, so we're not sure exactly when it actually began. So you can ask a historian. You got one in the house. Yes.
Just what you mentioned, is there a preference of us to light, or is that an issue, having your husband light for you?
It's a machloikis, the Mishnah Brewer and the Rav. The Chavetz Chaim writes in the Mishnah Berurah elsewhere.
What would you prefer?
I will tell you what I would recommend. Okay? Because my Rebbe is the Rav. The Mishnah Berurah cites a principle that is used occasionally called Ishto Kigufo. That a man, a wife and a husband are one unit. One unit. So the Gemara applies that several times. The Mishnah Berurah applies that to Ner Hanukkah. Because in all probability, in Europe, no woman ever lit. And he wanted to justify, how come women are obligated in the midst of Ner Hanukkah, like just like men are. So why did women light? So the Mishnah Berurah said, probably they believe that when the husband lights, it's as if they lit. They're considered one unit. The Rav was very much against that. And he encouraged every single girl, every married woman, to light the menorah on her own. Every single one. My mother never lit. Most women, I don't think. How many of your mothers lit? It's only your mother lit? Oh, she was very modernish. Very scholarly.
I don't think these don't
have any. Okay, I know. My mother never lit. My wife doesn't light, even though I tell her every year to light. Because her mother never lit. That's it. So okay. Encourage people, all women, to light.
The other question I was saying is based on the fact that with this whole eating thing, that you're not supposed to light, so if your husband's coming home really late, you're not, and you're waiting for him, then you're not supposed to eat until he gets home. Or let him,
so that so light. If he's not coming home late, you should definitely light. You should definitely light and eat.
I said that in the morning because I was waiting for Jeff, but I then ate when she lit. I want to know what the right thing. Sorry.
The right thing to do is if you're waiting, if somebody's coming home very late or late, and you want to eat, you should light.
But you have to do that every night. Like if you do it one night, if they come home late, and let's say they come home on time the next night, do you have to light that?
You don't. Again, you don't have to.
But I'm saying once you start, in other words,
no, you can switch off one night, one night, yes, yes.
If you're not in the house, exactly. So you're doing your errands till 8 o'clock at night, again, are you fasting till then? It's considered fasting. But
if you're not in the house, you're not chayav in Hadlakat Neirot.
Fine.
You're not. So if you're and that's the issue with being invited Sunday night to somebody's dinner for a Hanukkah party, you don't have to worry about it. You have to light at home. You can't light in someone else's house. Unless you're sleeping there, correct. And then only then, if you chip in and you have to make yourself part of the household by giving the head of household some money. What? No, that's not enough. It's not enough to bring your own. No. Because the chiyuv is neir ish u beito. If it's not your beito, there's no chiyuv. So in order for you to become chayav, you give the person a quarter, so you're like paying part of his rent.
So if you give them money and you light with as part of their family,
that's fine.
You still light your own.
That the choice is yours.
You
don't have to. The choice is yours. But if you, even if you would like to exercise that choice, you can't get away without giving the quarter. Could have had a question and answer period on a Hanukkah also.
Yeah. You go away to one of the water parks and you're sleeping. Then you don't have to light that night?
No, in theory, what becomes your home that night?
The hotel room.
Good, but you're not allowed to light in a hotel room. So what you should do is, I'm telling you can't light a light there because they're not going to allow you. Fire insurance, and you should not light. So if you have an electric menorah, you can light the electric menorah without a bracha. Because there are some who say, a minority, but some will say you can be yotzei with electric lights as well. So you would like an electric menorah without a bracha, if you're stuck in a hotel.
And without a bracha is because you can't naturally yotzei.
Correct. Many say that for Ner Chanukah, you, as opposed to Ner Shabbat, where you definitely are yotzei with electric, undoubtedly, but Ner Chanukah, many say that you're not. So that's why it's without a bracha. Yes.
So it's literally where you're sleeping. So if your child comes home, let's say for dinner, and they don't live at home, they live, let's say, at school, and they're going back, they light at school.
That is correct.
Even if they're still part officially.
That's correct. Okay. Yes.
Right.
If they, that's correct. Right. Okay. And it's not only a din in eating. If you'll come to my Gemara share between Mincha Marav of the Shabbos, I'm going to talk about how do we determine what is your location. There's a machloikis in Rav and Shmuel. I'm going to have to reinterpret that machloikis. That's what I'm talking about in the Gemara share. Yeah.
I'm sorry to be so specific, but
don't be sorry.
Saturday night, so we're going to someone for a Hanukkah party.
So
good.
And I don't want to leave my candles lit. Can we go there, eat, and light when we come home?
I would recommend the following. Light as soon as Shabbos is over. As long as it goes a half hour, then put them out. And when you come home, relight them. Without a bracha. Without a bracha. Because the people are still walking in the street.
But they did what they needed to do.
I know, but the half hour is in the time of the Gemara when pedestrian traffic ceased a half hour after dark. Today, the Rav always used Shabbos candles for Ner Chanukah because he wanted them to burn 3 hours, 4 hours every night because people are on the street much later today than they were in the time of the Gemara. What? People are walking, even in Teaneck, till 7, 8 o'clock, right? Yeah, or whatever they are. They're walking to a Chanukah party. So, yeah. Yeah, Bnei Yeshurun has a late minyan at nine. The last marv 10:45. So until 10:45, the people walking on West Englewood Avenue to right past your house, Pearl, because they're going to the 10:45 marv.
But is it for Jews anyway?
No, it's not only for Jews.
I don't think it would be for Jews.
It's for
specifically not for Jews.
It's no. The mitzvah of presuming nieces for everybody.
But I thought it was specifically really more for...
No, absolutely not. Well, absolutely not.
But
it's for Jews.
Home for Shabbos don't have to give you a quarter, even though they're living...
No. Your kids who are married, yeah, they have to give you a quarter.
Oh, I can't wait. You
pay up. Exactly. Now... Now, look at page number 7 for a moment. So, hold on. Why did I read this Gemara? Because Rashi believes that the word Hoda'ah means Alanisim. But Tosfot and many other Rishonim say that the word Hoda'ah means to light the menorah. So how do you become aware of the fact that the mitzvah of Hadlakat Neirot includes Hoda'ah el HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How? By having it in mind. That when you light the candle, you acknowledge, thank you, Rabbona Shel Olam, for doing this miracle, that miracle, and so on and so forth. Yes.
So this brings me back to my question that I had from before. So you said you have to, when you're saying something and doing it, you don't have to necessarily have to have Kavana, according to some opinion.
Yes.
So when I'm davening tomorrow morning with my second graders, I'm not really having. I'm saying every word, but I'm watching this word and doing each other while they're davening.
Good.
That counts as my davening?
According to this, yes. According to what you said, yes. But precisely because of the fact that, think of any mitzvah that is done through speech. Don't you think there's an underlying idea that has to be thought about when you engage in that speech? Good. That's why the Rabbeinu Yonah says, turn to page 8. This is the Rabbeinu Yonah in Masechet Brachot. I bracketed it about 2/3 of the way down. Now, I don't want to start at the beginning. I'll start at the beginning. I'll read the first line. Omnam Rabbeinu Hai Gaon Zichrono Levracha. Rav Hai Gaon says, V'harbe min ha-meforshim pasku dimitzvot ein tzrichot kavana. Rav Hai Gaon was one of the major Gaonim, and many poskim said mitzvot ain't tzrichot kavana. Good. Now skip 1, 2, go 2 lines below where we left off, go 2 lines and go to the left to the third last word of the line where it says aval. Everybody have it? Aval. B'mitzvot shetluya be'amira bilvad vadai tzricha kavana. Says the Rabbeinu Yaina. When you do an action, actions speak volumes. But when the mitzvah is to say something, it's not just to exercise your lips. It's the idea, the content of the amira that is important. Therefore, Rabbeinu Yonah says, every mitzvah of amira requires kavana. So name me 5, 10 mitzvot which are done through amira. Davening is one. Kriya Shema is another one. Kiddush on Friday night is another one. Mikra Bikurim is another one.
Havdalah.
If the purpose is not to exercise your lips, the purpose is to communicate a thought that God is the Mavdil Ben Kodesh Lachol, that He injects an element of sanctity in the Shabbat. By just reading and not being aware of this idea, you're not being Mekadesh HaShabbat. You're not doing it. And you're not being Mekabel Ol Malchut Shemayim. By simply Shemayim 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 Shemayim. You have to be aware. That's why he's Me'od Me'od Mestaber. That even if you believe that in general, mitzvot ain't srichot kavana, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, mitzvot that are performed exclusively by dibur, they require kavana. Because the purpose is not just to engage in a reading exercise for fluency of the text, it's to communicate an idea, a value, a thought. Hence, unless you have that thought in mind, you're just reading the newspaper. That's about it.
It almost sounds like we should be davening in English.
What?
It makes me feel like you should be davening. You
are yotzei the mitzvah if you daven in English. Fully. Tfilas b'chol lashon. It's a black and white Mishnah, Maseches Sota.
But everything we say in here, I feel like everything.
Not everything. Nope.
But it sounds like it should be.
Not everything, certain things. Kriya Shema has to be in Hebrew.
But
learned out from a pasuk. I
know,
but we don't say a hineni before Shema. Can't.
You can't because you're
in the middle of Berachos Shema, Berachos Kriya Shema.
But should you stop and think?
Yes. Before you start Shema Yisrael, you should stop and think. I am about to fulfill the mitzvah of being Mekabel Alai Ol Malchut Shemayim. Yeah, think about it.
Definition is.
I am accepting the yoke of heaven upon myself. And as a result, how do I demonstrate the yoke of mitzvah, the yoke of Shemayim? By second chapter. V'hayam Shema El Tishma El Mitzvotai. I accept the yoke of heaven by accepting His commandments. All right? We'll stop here. And we'll continue next to Bach.
I'm going to go to the next one.